This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All I know is we're getting ready to do the show, and out of nowhere, Dan Cook just takes a cheap shot at Susie Jones. I mean, why would you do that,
Dan? Really funny because, I don't have the greatest memory in the world, but I don't remember that at all. I remember
Kyle,
it being a cheap shot at Susie Jones, but I don't remember
it
emanating from me.
Yeah, wasn't it that
I way? Do not recall to the best of my recollection.
I think it was that way.
Senator.
We're here. My name's Chad Harmon. Dan Cook. Lindsey Gensel. Susie's in for Adam. Adam mornings once again today. Kyle is here. We have good guests. We're going to talk about walleyes, Mille Lacs. What's taking place, the progress, where it goes from here. We're going to talk about the president apparently trying to track down how many intelligence agencies we have. And now after, apparently, Dan, there were 17, but they've discovered there's only three or four. I don't know. What were those other, 13 or 14 doing? I mean, did they just make it up? Was it just set up? So we've got a good guest on the president's trip. And we also will get to Dara. Dara is out of the metro area. She's going to join us on the phone today, and that's why we're going to get to some outstate residents, outstate restaurants, some of the better places. Okay, so I saw this story, Boston Globe, and I want to ask everybody here on the assembled panel what they think. This is someone at a gas station. The person in front of him 5-6 times is trying to use their credit card or debit card. It just will not work. Will not work, and they want to go, right? They just want to go. And finally, listen, ma'am, I got it. Let me pay for this, right? And it appears all she's getting is some beef jerky and Red Bull. Lindsey, where would that stand for you right now? Red Bull and beef jerky.
To eat?
Yes.
I'm not judging anyone else's food choices, especially being in the room with Dan Cook, but it does not register
wow.
very high.
Is that
on
a
my...
shot at me, or is that
I think that was a choice. I think that was a comment. Red Bull.
No. Never.
Never Red Bull.
Well, like, back in the day when it first came out and you drank it with vodka, I had a couple.
Well,
but
people still do that.
I am well aware there are people who still find that enjoyable.
Yeah.
I do not fall into that category.
I never was much of a Red Bull guy.
I would drink it... Right now, if water tasted like Red Bull, it would be all I drink.
Is that what you to get you going in the morning? Or?
No, never. I have it with vodka, but I love the taste of Red Bull beyond just the. If I was like, what could cause the Sheelys to fight more? I would say let's get to that super drunk and then put a ton of caffeine into.
Oh, I've seen that before.
Is that even possible?
Yeah, I've seen that battle. Susie, Red Bull, beef jerky. Your thoughts?
I hate them both.
Hate them both.
Yep.
That sounds like a fun road trip to me. I'm in on both.
I don't like the taste of Red Bull.
Look up jerky, chef's cut. Yeah. Chef's cut.
Tough. I'm a Jack Links guy. I like Minnesota.
So chef's cut, three-putt guy. Or I'd have to actually text comment. I think he was three-putt guy or something. He used to come up with idea after idea after idea. Blair Swiler. He now has come up with this. He's about to make... I've been told hundreds of millions of dollars.
Hmm.
And he used to call in, come with ideas, and I was blowing him off.
Like,
how'd that work out for me?
Yeah, can I give you a name?
Yes. So the person goes, sure. Yeah, and then, okay, so now I get up. This person gets up. Beef jerky, Red Bull. Turns out there's a quart of milk. No big deal. Then it turns out the bill is $45.07. And the person's thinking, wait, Red Bull? Beef jerky and a quart of milk. I mean, what's going on? Oh, yeah. She also had already signed up for $30 worth of gas. Already had signed up for $30 worth of gas. You're in that situation. What do you do? Let's discuss that. Get to more serious topics throughout the afternoon. It's 12:08 with the news. Here is Susie Jones. Okay, so here's the scenario again. You're at the gas station. You got to go. And important things are going on, and the person in front of you, it just isn't working. And the person behind the register is saying, hey, it's working all day. It's something with your card. And you say, listen, I got it. You're thinking it's literally a Red Bull, beef jerky. Then it turns out it's milk. Well, what you don't realize is also $30 worth of gas, right? Which you know, most of us right now, Lindsay, probably just stay outside, do that. But when you're coming inside, you get the Red Bull and the beef jerky. Is that the new idea where we can sit around that? We'll go to the gas station. We'll stay outside the car. We'll punch in what we would like. And then someone from inside the store will bring us out the Red Bull and the beef jerky.
Well, I know there are places, and I think I've seen them most in the South, where they're drive-up gas stations, where you drive into a garage and the gas station is on the side of you and you just kind of order what you want.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think I did it because there are states that have a little bit more lenient liquor laws and you can do like drive-up cocktails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Or beer.
Yeah. Oh, Arizona had, even in the dark ages when I was going to school there, they were drive-through liquor stores.
I want to say I was in Atlanta. I want to say it was Atlanta that I saw this.
So you drive into something, you're getting the gas, but you also can say, I want milk, whatever it might be.
Yeah. So it looks kind of like, imagine a big gas station. There is an actual store. But then where they would do work on the cars, that has been transformed into a little drive-through.
Oh.
So it's a garage door on either side. You drive in. There's a tenant there.
Yep.
Helping you.
Sure.
And then there's like, you know, pop coolers and beer coolers and ice and all of that.
That sounds pretty good. I liked, Dan, I thought we had discovered something. I thought we had discovered the next idea, but.
Well, I mean, I still think we have to a degree, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about places where somebody actually brings it out to you. There's no reason that you can't hire another clerk or two at the holiday. They
Boom.
Grab the stuff, bring it out to your car while you're pumping gas.
Okay, do you then have to tip the person?
I don't know. Did we tip when it was full service gas stations? That was kind of before my time. Did you tip
like
that?
I don't think
you did, right?
No. And does this person need to make $15 an hour?
Well, only in the city of Minneapolis, apparently.
Exactly. Okay, so then it turns out it's significantly more money. This is your dilemma, Dan. You're a nice person. You help them out. And it turns out it's significantly more than you expected. You're boxed in at this point,
yeah.
Right?
No, you said you're paying for it. You pay for
yeah.
it. No two ways about it.
Right?
If you said that, and you know, it came around and nipped at you a little bit with more money than you were expecting. Okay, that's your thing. Go ahead and, you know, man up, woman up, whatever you want to say, and do it.
What if it was also an oil change?
Well, I mean, would that even be possible? I mean, do you ever pay for oil change? I mean, I know there's combo gas station service stations, but isn't there usually a separate
anymore.
Area where you pay for that stuff?
I think it is, right? I mean, it's few and far between now, right?
Yeah.
It used to be the place you'd go, but now there's so many specialty places.
Right.
And you know, you can pay as little as like a dollar, it seems like, or $500. So where is the line, though? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I know what you're saying. I'm not sure there is a number that you can just, well, it's $50. Right? I mean, it's sort of arbitrary, whatever you're picking. The idea is this person's struggling to get their payment done. Your convenience is more important to you than whatever amount of money this is. So just pay it and go.
Okay, I'll add this, Lindsay. The person then says, after realizing it was $45, looks out and estimates the car for this individual costs about $60,000. So the idea that this person was, you know, down on her luck could be. I mean, you still could have that scenario. But more often than not, this was just for some reason the card wasn't working and you were thinking you're going to pay $3 and now you're paying $45.
Yeah, I mean,
It's still the thought, right?
It's still the thought, and it's, as Dan said, you said you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for it. I'm probably going to be peeved for a little bit. I'd probably tell people as like a, ha-ha, look what I got myself into, because that's, you know, just kind of the way I am. I'd say it was my own fault.
Right.
And then I would, you know, in my head go, of all the frivolous things that I spend my money on, I help someone out.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll pay it forward, and then I'd go on my way.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, I've definitely been the person who has been so embarrassed, like especially when you're traveling and they shut your card down and you're standing there like an idiot at the Starbucks at the airport. And I've had people help me out. I've helped people out.
Right. It'd be pretty embarrassing that you're the person who's helping out. and you think it's $5, let's say. You then say, hold on a second. You then go back out to the car to the person and say, wait a second. This is $40 more than I thought it would be. Get back in there.
Well, and on the person who didn't have the money, if it was $5, I can if it was $5 and say you're behind me in line and I can't pay it,
yeah.
I would say, here's my business card, shoot me an email, I'll get you the cash. $45, that person should have been like, how can I repay you? You know, how can I get in touch with you?
Yeah.
I'll shoot you a check, I'll shoot you cash, you can Venmo, you know, between your phones
yes,
now.
There's so many ways. Now
so I'm baffled that they didn't do that.
Well, I mean, you can say that, right? But if you're doing it with that expectation, then you're kind of doing it for the wrong reason, aren't you?
You're not doing it for that expectation, but what was the woman going to do? She's already pumped the gas. So what, she going
to— Well, no, she was coming inside, apparently, the way the story, to say, I also want to put $30 on you. Normally, she just would do the credit card outside, but because she came in for the items, she's now saying, put $30 on there because I'm now going out there. And I don't think she's saying she didn't have the money. It was, for some reason, the card wasn't working, and she was baffled that the card wasn't working. That's why she kept trying it five, six times.
Does it say how old she is? Like, how, because in my situation—
So now you're going to discriminate by age.
No,
yeah,
but
it is.
No, but in my situation, if my phone, my card's not working, I have all my information on my phone that I can just go and fix the problem. So if she's standing there like, oh, helpless me, my card's not working, like a normal human being would turn the card over and call the number on the back.
Even there? But you're.
Oh, I was at the Chinese place across the street the other day and the guy's card stopped working and he moved over.
Okay. Okay. No, I thought you were saying you're in line and it's not working. All of a sudden you start calling them Wells Fargo, the
you
one.
You step aside. Yeah. You say, can you hold this for me?
Yeah.
And you call and you say, what is going on? And then they either say, oh, I'm sorry, there's an issue with your card. We'll fix it. Or, ma'am, you have no money in your account.
Yeah. Or you could say this. I'm leaving. I'll call on my own, unless literally you're out of gas, right? I don't know. Do you want to sit right there that long and call your bank and have the conversation? Because a lot of times you can. You've got it all set up on the phone, so you can figure it out quickly. But if you have to actually make the call, calling 1-800 numbers isn't always the fastest process in the world.
You're saying you don't want to sit there and go through 10 menus right in that
moment?
No,
I don't. While I'm waiting there at Super
America. How bad does she want
the
Red Bull and the beef jerky? I mean, that's the question. If she's not out of gas, how badly does she want the beef jerky?
Or at this point, Red Bull, beef jerky. If you need Red Bull and beef jerky that bad, you're hungover? What are you? What is your physical state
you're
at this point?
You're asking me?
I mean, I don't know. Why do you need Red Bull and beef jerky and a quart of milk? I think it's just normal, so you don't need to get it.
Yeah, it's probably just, you know, it's like when you buy a bottle of water and you've got, you know— One at home.
If I was there and I wasn't involved in the transaction, I would love to see the person start walking outside to the person pumping the gas. Because it'd be good theater to watch. Chime in. What would you do? 81807. Back in moments on CCO. Somebody saying con artists, talking about other items. I'm not sure it's automatically a con artist. Yeah. Because there are times when cards don't work. It's just how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? Okay, let me get to this story and remind you, we're going to talk DNR, walleyes, Mille Lacs, what's coming up, how they're dealing with the PR, how the businesses are dealing with it, and is it working? Are we getting closer to point when you think about the enormous industry that this is tied to Mille Lacs? And fishing, I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars. Do they feel like these plans are getting them closer to what people view about the normal fishing season and times like in July and August? You're going up to all those great resorts, and fishing is a huge part of it. And it's not just catch and release. You're bringing whatever's allowed and whatever has been allowed in the past back. Okay, music festivals. Dan Cook, as someone who genuinely loves music, are you much of a music festival person?
No.
No.
No. I'm not much of a music festival person for several reasons.
Can I guess one?
You can, and I'm sure I know what it is. Go right ahead.
Human beings.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Too many people.
Yeah.
Too many people, and they're always summer, right? Because that's the only time you can do outdoor stuff.
Yeah.
So it's usually, for whatever reason, those things always end up on these blazing hot weekends, and everybody's sweating and smelling and gross, and there's not adequate facilities, and it's just, however good the music is, I'm distracted by, you know, the guy next to me that hasn't showered in 3 days.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
I'm done.
Lindsay, music festivals. Who a best friend for you outside of John is?
Annie and Julia. It's a trio. And I actually have this little conundrum coming up.
I don't know if you can. Haven't we established this before?
Can we not get sidetracked in this argument again?
Yeah, no. Let's stay on the path.
No. You have to have one best friend.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
Okay, well, anyway,
you can't have seven.
I have an issue coming up because they have invited me to go to WeFest in August.
WeFest, country.
I love country.
Hold on a second. Are we part of that? Is the evil enemy a part
of it? No, but John Hines is broadcasting from Detroit Lakes for going to the lake that week.
Okay. The K-102 must not be part of it if Hinesy's up there. I'm just thinking. There's no chance we're going to be part of it if Buzzin's rival.
We are in Detroit Lakes for going to the lake, and TV is too. We're not doing anything, I don't think, with WeFest.
Right.
But it's, you know, the whole
town. WeFest's been around for a long, long time.
I don't know if I want to go.
Not because of the music. You want to go to
the
music.
Okay, but I'm in Dan's boat.
Yeah.
I think I'm too old. The idea there of people drink from sun up to sundown. And I get it. You don't have to participate in that.
Right.
But have you ever been the sober person in a group of incredibly intoxicated people? That's like the worst.
No, I've never had that experience at all.
Yeah. Every night the guy goes out.
Oh, wait.
Wait.
That was my entire college experience.
Yeah. Well, don't go to Madison and be sober.
Yeah.
Well.
I mean, come on.
I have to drink in order to go to Madison?
No.
That's it?
But my point
being
is.
Hold on. She says no. I'll say socially.
All right.
No, I mean, I'm joking. But if you're then going to go out, you shouldn't be surprised when people are out in bars and at parties.
Who said I was surprised?
Yeah.
I'm just saying how obnoxious it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that's what I was commenting on.
It's going to be hot, and they camp, and I don't really camp, and I don't know if I want to waste my days off on that.
Yeah.
But it goes back to Dan's whole thing. It's like, do you want to be standing in a hot field, sweating with other people who are sweating?
Okay, I'm out. Okay. If I can, like, stay at the Four Seasons.
That's just it.
You know, if I can go there and I got my room, you know, I mean, I love music. I love seeing music I've never heard of before. I don't mind some of the human interaction, but you guys both nailed it. For you wake up, you're there on site for the next 14 hours. Almost everybody, once they wake up, they're putting something in their body, maybe including Red Bull and beef jerky to recover. And you do well. Part of the problem lately is assault, and I don't think it's that new. It's been going on for a long time. But in Sweden, so they have their biggest music festival. It's one that draws an enormous crowd. They have had so many problems over the last few years with sexual assaults. Let me just give you some of the numbers. Last weekend, 4 rapes, 23 sexual assaults at this one place. The year before, 5 rapes and 12 sexual assaults. They're getting some big names, some recognizable names. So what have they decided to do? Next year, female-only music festival. Sweden's first man-free rock festival will see the light next summer. In the coming days, this is a well-known comedian and radio host. They call her radio presenter. Are we radio presenters here? Dan, are we the radio presenters?
Seems a very British term to me.
Yes. Yeah. We're the radio presenters in the basement. In the coming days, I'll bring together a solid group of talented organizers and project leaders to form the festival when it's time to move forward. Okay, so what do we think? Is this conceding to pathetic behavior? Is this acknowledging reality? Is this you're not spending enough money on security? Is it, okay, that's fine. You can have your music festival this way. I don't want to see major, I don't want to get to the point where we have to have major social events, and because of the actions of some punks and criminals and pathetic individuals, you have to say the rest of men face that same broad brush, but you also don't want women going there if they're going to feel unsafe or head on a swivel the entire time worried about what's going to happen.
Well, it's putting a Band-Aid on the problem. It's just taking the entire issue out of the situation. So take away the men and have this music festival, but you're not really addressing the issue in the first place that these assaults shouldn't be happening.
Now they might come back and say, we're just a little music festival. We want that to happen in the bigger, broader topic. What can we truly do? We can be involved in politics. We can advocate, but we still want to have our music festival, and we don't want anybody to feel like they're in jeopardy. So let's do it. So let's say, okay. You know, City's 97 is having a basilica this week. It's been around forever, right? It's raised millions. It's a great cause, right? So there's all sorts of these music festivals that are recognizable. What if there were a series of assaults and one of the festivals in town that's recognizable in the state did this? What do you think the reaction would be?
It wouldn't be good. And I look at it as, sure, they don't want to have to be the, you know, the ringleader for stopping assaults at concerts. But then you have to look at it as a concert promoter and someone who's organizing it, what are you doing to not say allow these things to happen, but yeah. How are you setting up the concerts? Where are you hosting them? What kind of events are taking place during the day? How much alcohol is being served?
Security,
are there security?
Right? Cameras
is there woods that people can be pulled into? You have to look at the grand scheme of things. And, you know, I've been to Basilica. I think it would be very hard for someone to get away with something like that
because of how well it is planned out.
Yeah, You're just using it as an example.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Right.
Because in my head, I go, okay, let's talk about WeFest. There's how many different campgrounds? There's.
Because a lot of places, most places aren't in the heart of the city.
Yes.
And more power to all the folks. You know, Lauren's here now. Lauren was put in, I can't even imagine how many hours Lauren put in on that. And it's still a great thing. But that's just on the edge of the biggest city. And so most of them are how you're laying out. You know, my middle boy has traveled to do it. He's the sweet spot. 20-year-old kid who like has a bunch of buddies and wants to do it, right? I would think smaller festivals do this. But if you're saying the story says the biggest music festival in the country is doing that, that's a heck of a concession, you know? And I mean, do we have a singular music festival once a summer? Coachella, maybe? You know, I mean, I'm just trying to think of things that are so recognizable. There would be
Coachella, Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
There's some big regional ones. What's interesting about, you know, here in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities is that there's, you know, once a month there's a big major country festival, whether it's in Cadott, Wisconsin or up in WeFest or down in Iowa. And so you think of the number of people going into that. And there's one down at Dakota County Fair at some point. But then even just adding in all the county fairs that do concert night. I mean, it's an unreal number that you would be taking people out of if you said, okay, no more men.
Yeah, it's sad. It's pathetic that this is going on. Is this the right route for the biggest festival of all? Okay, 33 past 12. Susie's coming up next. Let me tell you about Harry's and how much how fortunate I feel that Wes came down from our sales staff and told me about Harry's about 16 months ago or so. It was early 2016 and said, why don't you know, do you want to endorse this? And I said, I've heard good things, but I want to try it first. And I tried it first day or two, and I knew this was just a fantastic razor. And then I read about the two guys who were behind Harry's, their entrepreneurial spirit, and how they wanted to try something different. And I'm staying on board going forward. Their retention rate of keeping customers who try it one time is well over 80%. You get all this information at harrys.com. And for the deal I'm about to tell you about, at checkout, my last name, Hartman. They back their product so much, they'll give you the free trial set. All you're paying is $1.02 for shipping. Normally costs $20. You get the ergonomic handle. The razor blade itself is 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip, trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover, and post-shave balm. Don't wait any longer. You have the best razor out there available to you. Harrys.com. Check out Hartman. Let me read the first graph from Paul Walsh's Star Tribune story and then bring in Brad Parsons, regional fisheries manager for Central Minnesota DNR. A planned temporary shutdown of walleye fishing this month on Mille Lacs, even catch and release, will take effect this week and last for most of the rest of the month in an effort to preserve the struggling population, the prize species. Mr. Parsons knows this well. He lives it all the time, and he's kind enough to join us. Brad, I appreciate it. Obviously, this is no surprise to you guys. You had this debate for a long time. We know what has taken place the last couple of years. Do you feel like the summer has developed the way you thought, so this just affirmed the plans you made going back to the winter?
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Chad. It does. We expected walleye catch rates to be quite good this year because they were good last winter, and there's always a correlation between those things. And with good fishing, you tend to get more fishing pressure. So our pressure is up from last year. I mean, obviously, it is still down from historical levels. And, I think it has affirmed what we're looking at and affirming our need to do this to stay within our allocation.
Okay, every summer is going to be a little bit different. Every summer is with the temperature and the effect on us, humans, traveling up there. So the number of people on the lake is going to play a part in what happens with the fish themselves. We've had a fairly basic, benign summer, right? It hasn't been – we've had a hot stretch here recently, but before it's been fairly normal. We haven't had, you know, an extraordinary amount of rain or different things. Would that have altered any of your plans?
Probably not. And you're right. Even with a high catch rate and higher pressure, we've been very fortunate with the cooler weather. Our water temperatures are actually trending a little below normal now. Obviously, these next few days aren't comfortable for any of us. We all know that. So it was about what we expected. Like you said, any recreational activity is affected by weekend weather, you know, be it wind or thunderstorms or whatever. And, you know, a lake like Mille Lacs with its proximity to the Twin Cities and so many kind of folks coming up for a day or two, that really changes it when the weather goes south.
So let's just go back to when you made this decision. Why was this the right time to do it and then resume later in the year?
Sure. Well, historically, fishing pressure starts to go down a little bit in July on a lot of our major lakes, particularly walleye lakes. That often tends to coincide with you start getting more food for the fish coming off little perch and things, so the bite tends to slow down. Once you get past the 4th of July, it kind of becomes a different season. And then the other really important part of this is that because our take is based on hooking mortality increases as water temperatures get warmer.
Yep.
And as we all know, I mean, July is really those warmest temperatures, maybe a little bit of early August. And really the past 2 years of our total hooking mortality, anywhere from 50 to 60% of it happened in the month of July alone. So it was really, if we were going to conserve fish, this is the time to do it.
So let's talk hook mortality, because this is fish that are caught, eventually released, and the number of fish who don't make it because of various reasons. Is there any way to change that ratio? I mean, if you put out information and information comes out through the media and other outlets, would that change this in any way? Or are some people just, and maybe in the truest sense, this is how they're going to fish, this is what they've done, there's no intent, this is just an unintended consequence that is unavoidable?
Well, this is one of those answers where it's a little bit of both, Chad. We've really worked hard with anglers. We have walleye advisory work groups and things like that that have really preached about how you do catch and release, and not just on a lake like Mille Lacs, but anywhere. You know, it's really important to try and set that hook quick, play the fish quickly. If you're sure, we want people to take pictures and enjoy themselves, but take care of the fish. But then again, there are also people who are fishing a certain way, or maybe you're not paying attention to your bobber and it goes down, and those things happen. So we can, and I think we have improved things, and I think anglers have improved their techniques. But some of it is just the way it's going to be.
Brad Parsons is our guest, regional fisheries manager, Central Minnesota, with the DNR. So you have the governor going up, and he's going to point out that, listen, just because walleyes are not available right now, bass is available. What effect do you think that really has with the folks who are just so used to thinking this time of year, Mille Lacs and walleyes?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the walleye anglers are walleye anglers, but there are quite a few of them up there right now who are enjoying some really good fishing. It's just they're not enjoying keeping. And we understand completely that there's a segment of the population that really enjoys that. But, you know, Mille Lacs has been, and really over the last 10 years or so, has become an excellent multi-species fishery. I mean, the smallmouth bass, BASS just ranked it as the number one smallmouth bass lake in the country. Literally.
So is that a dramatic change? And if it's changed, what happened?
Well, the smallmouth have been increasing really region-wide, the upper Midwest, southern Canada. You know, there are things about growing seasons. Smallmouth were kind of on the northern edge of their range here, but as everything kind of shifts north with some climate change things, that it's a very common thing. It's happening in Wisconsin, Ontario, Ohio, Michigan, all over the place. So that's a very common thing. And Mille Lacs is, it's really showing that. And one of the other reasons is just that the lake itself has changed because of clear water, cleaner water, and then the effects of some of the invasive species we're dealing with there. It's created good smallmouth bass habitat. It always was good, but now it's really excellent.
So looking at what you've done the last few years and looking to the future, do you have any idea about next year? Is this the plan again? I mean, how far away are you from feeling like, hey, we've made enough progress that we can have a normal summer? Or is it too tough to project that at this moment?
Yeah, it's really tough to project, Chad. We base a lot of what we do on our fall assessments, which come up in September, and that has a lot to do with our test netting and electrofishing, things like that. We look at the whole season of the creel surveys, the angler surveys we're doing right now that are out there. And then really what we're looking for, right now we've got a really strong population of fish from the 2013 year class. They're really good. And that's why fishing is so good right now. People are catching those fish and enjoying themselves. The issue has been that we don't know that there's another good year class behind that yet. And so if you really exploit a fishery that has one really dominant year class, that's a very dangerous thing to do. And so we're really looking for that next year class coming up. We've got some hopes for the 2016s, but again, we won't really know that till our fall assessments.
So why do we have such different years? In this case, maybe back to back.
Yeah, well, it's almost all weather dependent, and it's very common throughout walleye fisheries. There's very just year-to-year variations. The spring weather, for example, the best thing, and this is a bit of an overgeneralization, is kind of a late ice out and then a gradual warm-up, because you don't get those cold fronts that keep coming through and chill down the water and the heavy waves that stir up the eggs. And so there's a lot of that. And then your summer temperatures, you know, you want to have a nice gradual warming. You need a good food base. And so that's the other question that we're really looking hard at on Mille Lacs is the food base out there, particularly the yellow perch.
Last question here, Brad Parsons. We're talking about the plan, temporary shutdown of walleye fishing with Mille Lacs this month here. How much coordination during the year do you have with resorts? Or does that all take place, you know, well before this? They can give their opinion. At times probably protesting, knowing financially how much it's costing them. But at this point, you have to decide if you're going ahead with the plan. And while you respect them, their input at this point is not a huge factor in whether you're going through with the plan ahead.
Well, as we've been meeting, we have an advisory committee that the commissioner appointed. It has several resort owners, anglers of different species, local anglers, et cetera, from around the state also. And we listen very closely to their input. You know, the reality is that we're operating under court-ordered protocol, so our ability to really deviate from that makes a lot of different decisions and a lot of different kinds of input, it's just not really feasible for us. But we definitely want to hear that. We do. With the advisory committee up there, we had monthly meetings for quite a while. It's been every other month. We hear what's going on. You know, last winter, there was over 2.2 million hours of angling pressure on Lake Mille Lacs, which is just outstanding. I mean, it was very high, even for historical winters. So there's still a really good fishery up there, and we really want people to enjoy that. And during this period, fishing the bass, the walleye, or the muskies, the northern pike is really, you're going to have some fun up there because it is an excellent fishery.
Brad, I appreciate the time. We'll reach out again.
Chad, I appreciate the opportunity.
Brad Parsons from the DNR. Very good explanation about what has taken place now and potentially going forward. 1249, that is your Lindus Construction time check. Time to upgrade your windows with Season Guard. Lindsay found this from a mom with young kids, just talking about the summer. I think this would be good to read for the folks who right now are thinking about having a child. She says, how's the summer going, everybody? Here's an excerpt of a kind of a typical day for me. Here's the scene. I'm cooking a grilled cheese in the stove for kids' lunch. Dan, remind me, where do you stand on the grilled cheese?
Big fan of grilled cheese.
Big, big fan.
I don't cook it on the stove. I bake it, though.
Oh, you do? You bake it?
In the oven, yep.
Yeah, in the oven? Yep. I like when you have the toaster, when you have the right type of toaster.
Yeah, you can do that, absolutely.
You know, should you buy your toaster based on your love of grilled cheese?
You'd have to love grilled cheese a lot.
You'd have to love them a lot, right? On that, yeah. But you can make that type of toaster work.
Sure.
So, 8-year-old says, I want to get the mail. It turns out the mailbox is a few houses up the street. 4-year-old says, guess what? I want to go too. Gives him the mail key and out the door. Now, it turns out the boys, they're both boys, they fight all the time. So then their fight breaks out at the mailbox. The 6-year-old daughter says, comes in, they're fighting the mailbox. The mail went flying everywhere all over the neighborhood. So she's got to run outside, right, and checks on it. She's in Kansas. 4-year-old is approaching the corner where the cul-de-sac meets a busy street. He's distracted. He's out in the street. I'm now chasing him, screaming the name, also trying to pick up mail. But it's a 4-year-old. So guess what? Not paying any attention. Rips open his foot on a rock because he's not wearing shoes. And you want to say, this is why we wear shoes. I'm half crying. I'm half dragging a bloodied foot, crying 4-year-old, a crying 8-year-old who thinks he's in trouble. Once the papers are tossed and the bloody foot is damaged, a bandage, excuse me, we now smell something. Guess what? It's the burning grilled cheese that I've completely forgotten about.
Sure.
So I did what I think good mother did. I scraped off the burnt parts, threw them on the plate, and said, bon appetit. And I poured a beer. So tell me, how's the summer going for you? You know how many people can identify that?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and, you know, Lindsay's in this amazingly long conversation with somebody on the phone. She saw it, so she knows it. But I think that this would be one, if you're like, you're torn on whether you should have kids.
Yeah.
You'd read this, and then you'd say, you know my thoughts on having kids?
Yeah. I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm good.
They're out. If that is a normal, typical day, and by the way, as the father of three kids, sometimes they act 3-year-old. Fortunately, so does their dad. That wouldn't really motivate me.
Mm-mm.
I wouldn't say, wow, that's sweet. My 8 and 4-year-old are fighting. I'm chasing males. They're bleeding. I'm burning down the house. And then I'm so frustrated, I'm having a beer at about 10 in the morning.
But I appreciate her honesty.
Oh, I love that part.
Because I think so many women and dads who stay at home feel this pressure to pretend like everything is perfect. And
yes.
I have friends who, you know, their first kids came along and you know, they didn't want to admit that things were tough. And then when you finally get them to admit it and you're like, see, doesn't it feel so good to just admit that sometimes having kids is incredibly hard?
How about every day?
Well, yeah, but I mean, some days are harder than others.
If you're just honest. I mean,
yes.
You're right, because we get those a lot here when we talk about some kid issue at school or at home or you name it. And so many, and it'll be, you know, I'm now a grandmother, a grandfather. My kids never did that. You know what? BS.
Lies.
Yes, they did.
Lies.
Exactly.
Lies.
Just admit. You're like, now it almost sounds like we're on beer. We'll come back in a little bit. And it's still a membership drive, even though we're now up to $47 million. We'll come back in our breathy voices soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.